gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You betcha, live from the Kodiak Island, the largest island in North America. I'm here to repudiate all the repudiations.
What, the Kodiak Island? I haven't heard this one.
Princess Dumbass of the North Woods made another mistake.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's not... It's the Big Island of Hawaii is the biggest. Okay. Thanks for checking in again. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Actually, the real truth is sadder than that. I'm broadcasting from a chaise lounge with my heating pad on that Chris had to go to Target and buy yesterday.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Mama's back went out again yesterday after, you know, the whole broken foot and the crutches mm-hmm. and the climbing up and down stairs and the mobility scooters and the flavin.
Yeah, I got a call about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Yes.
Mama needs you to go to Target and get the chaise lounge for her.
At least she didn't get a call about an accident in the bathwater again.
That's true.
Yeah, your mom is bathwater. All right. Yeah, no, it's fine. Everything's fine. I went to the chiropractor and then the acupuncturist. And so I'm, for the second, I've been...
Your dog's acupuncturist?
Pasted back together. No, just a regular one.
Oh.
Here's how I'm retroactively a disaster magnet, by the way. I told my podiatrist that put the cast on the broken foot.
Mm-hmm.
I said, there's only one thing wrong with your chiropractor suggestion. And he said, what? And I said, she's dead.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And I don't know if I did that, but I called and she's...
Murta.
No more. So I found another one. But anyway, we have a big, big show coming up. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward. Associate producer, Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. Hey!
What?
We have a fancy journalist on the phone. What am I doing here in my chaise lounge, lounging around? Good morning, Richard Wolf.
Good morning.
This is, I think, the only time you've probably been interviewed in a chaise lounge.
It's true, and I my feet are both doing okay, in case you're wondering.
So, Richard, what is going on in the Gulf? It is, you know, it's been hard to follow thus far, but, you know, it seems like there's been a fissure between the government and BP now, you know, as to whether this cap should stay on, as to whether anything's actually leaking from the ocean floor. What have you heard?
Well, there have been tensions all along, okay? But what you have to remember is that in the White House and all the experts, everyone said that it would only be around this point, never mind about the cap, the top hat, the bowler hat, whatever they're using.
Top kill, junk shot, whatever.
It would only matter at this point, the real benefits would only come with this relief well being drilled. And so the only permanent fix is this relief well, they're, I don't know, a couple of feet out, whatever it is now, and everything else is kind of temporary. So that means a lot of oil has been spilled. The area is obviously devastated with the dispersants, with the oil. This is where the whole operation was going to shift into the longer-term cleanup reconstruction effort. So I kind of think this is academic. If it's this device or something else, pretty soon they'll have not just one but two relief wells in there. Mm-hmm. And then you're really dickering about the bigger stuff, which is how much oil was spilled, because that is what's going to define BP's final bill.
Well, and that's what's disturbing, right, is that what is being done for PR purposes, that they don't, you know, want there to be pictures again of oil going into the Gulf, and also the latest news that they're buying scientists, essentially, along the Gulf Coast. You know, I mean, it just seems like they're getting ready to play defense already, isn't it?
Well, you know, even worse than that, because, look, I can forgive the company for wanting to make its case. You know, that's what they're going to do. They're going to try and save money. But here's what BP does. This is how BP makes its money. It schmoozes government officials around the world. BP doesn't drill for anything. It outsources everything. All it has is the relationships that it gets to get those precious leases and then do what it does and pollute and suck up the oil and then go sell it. And it gets margins on all of these things. But the real way it makes the money is by those government contacts. And what's happening today is this new British prime minister has come to Washington. He's going to be talking to Obama. And they're going to be talking about BP. BP has spent its time lobbying this new British prime minister, David Cameron, to try and push back on Obama and all his demands. And so it's kind of classic. You know, you try and own the government in one way or another and get them to do the work for you. That, to me, is more troubling than them hiring their own experts on one kind or another.
Does Cameron agree with Rand Paul that it's un-American for the president to criticize BP?
He thinks it's un-British and un-American. What he thinks is he's been making the case, although he is actually an environmentalist himself, and one of the ways he distinguished himself, he's a conservative, the way he distinguished himself from Margaret Thatcher's party was to say he cared about the environment and believed in climate change, so maybe Rand Paul would not be so happy about that. But, you know, this is a difficult one for him. He is on the environmental side of it generally, but he's also making the argument publicly that, well, you shouldn't be too tough on BP because it's such an important company, and there are all these people who bought their shares. I mean, that's tough. You've got to choose sides in this one.
Right.
And the side isn't whether you're for a British company or not, because these companies aren't really from one country anymore anyway. They're multinationals.
Right.
The question is, are you for the environment, and companies that pollute and damage our environment, do they pay? They should pay. It's
right.
A pretty basic principle.
Right. Richard, let's go back to what's happening at the moment, because, you know, pardon me if I'm not entirely confident when I hear certain pronouncements. So the well is leaking oil and gas again for the first time since it was capped. But I love this. The Obama administration spill chief says it's no cause for alarm.
Right.
Oh, yes, well, of course. That's been the... the seepage, I mean, they're saying is from the seafloor. Thad Allen saying, oh, that probably has nothing to do with the well. I mean, doesn't all of it make you nervous?
Natural seepage. It's like that. What was that oil replacement that that had those unfortunate side effects in potato chips? It's natural seepage.
Oh, Lestra. Yes.
That's it. Yeah. Okay. It just happens.
Yes.
You know, bad stuff happens. And
natural seepage, like you ordinarily have after
right,
a meal.
Right. It's one of those corporate side effects that you have to read the small print.
I went on record as saying I don't think any product that causes explosive diarrhea should be named Wow.
It was, as one of those guys told me, it was a natural synergy with their adult diaper product. Anyway, how did we get onto that?
I don't know.
You know, the truth is, obviously, it's a relative thing. It's bad in itself, but compared to all the crap that's been dumped in the Gulf, it obviously doesn't worry Thad Allen that much. I think he's actually done pretty well in terms of a very complicated operation involving all these different government agencies and local and state officials. But his work has only just begun. I mean, this is at such an early stage. So
right, but the fact is, I mean, obviously the scientists are trying to figure out what's going on with these seismic readings and all that. But, you know, with as huge a disaster as this has already been, Richard, I guess the fear is, oh, my God, could this, you know, rupture the seafloor and cause a disaster that's even worse than what's going on now?
Right. And it's fair enough that people are expecting even worse. I mean, you know, at every stage the operation has failed or fallen short. And, you know, I can understand that. It would be really unlikely, though. I think they would have some kind of readings at this point to say that the well itself had fractured, the pressures wouldn't be there. You know, there is a glimmer of good news in this, but like I said, this relief well was going to be meeting its target around now anyway. It's probably saved about a week's worth of extra oil, which is good. I mean, you know, any oil that doesn't go into the Gulf is a good thing.
Right. Richard, I'm sorry, we're how far away, do you think, from the relief well?
About a week.
Oh, we're only a week out. Well, why are they trying any of this stuff? I heard they're talking about, like, pumping the drilling mud through the top of the cap, and, you know, it's the same top kill thing that didn't work the last time. But why would they be doing that at this point if there's a chance of...
A week is still a lot. Have to pay. BP's interest is that they have to pay for the amount of oil that's spilled. So this saves them millions and millions of dollars. Remember, one of the reasons they got into trouble in the first place with this well was because each day adds to their costs. So, you know, things were running late on the rig, and that's how these companies operate. If they can save a day, they save millions of dollars. So a day, a week, you know, obviously there's an environmental impact too, but from the company's perspective, you know, time is money here. So I can understand they'd want to do it. I just don't know that until they get that relief well in, right from the start, Obama was informed by Carol Browner this was not going to be fixed until that relief came in.
Yep. Richard, let's turn to other things for a moment. The president's press conference yesterday. I mean, it's a tough place for the Republicans to be in this economy politically, isn't it, to be saying no to unemployment benefits?
It's really tough. And if you look at this, a very interesting poll come out today from Gallup, there is a real shift among independent voters. You know, a couple of weeks ago, independent voters, given a choice between generic Republicans and Democrats on the House ballot, were saying they chose Republicans over Democrats by something like 15 points. Now it's down to 4 points. I think independent voters are picking up the messages coming out of Washington Democrats, coming out of the White House, that Republicans are playing politics at a time when people are suffering. That's essentially the argument they've been making about financial reform, about health care, and now about unemployment benefits. Good news is unemployment benefits are almost certainly going to be voted through the Senate today.
Right.
But this has been a real exposition in the kinds of game playing that Republicans like. And, you know, there is a real ideological divide. Republicans do really care about deficit and spending more than Democrats. But then why did they vote for Republican presidents to get unemployment extensions before?
Well, and
why
the president.
Do they not care? Why right. do they not care about the deficit impact of tax cuts? You know,
right.
it's the question is about consistency. It's about hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, and it's about whether you really care about the jobs that you profess to care about.
Well, Richard, the hypocrisy is pretty naked now in terms of the timing with these the Bush tax cuts. Because, you know, when you have even Alan Greenspan saying I was wrong, I mean, and you have the numbers right in front of you, it's going to be whatever it is, $650 billion, you know, extending the Bush tax cuts cost. When unemployment benefits are a pittance next to that, I mean, I think, you know, the president made that point yesterday, right, that this has been a bipartisan thing with other presidents, that we help people in this country when they're down, right?
Yeah, and I thought it was pretty effective, him going out there with people, real people who are looking for jobs. You know, it would be even better if he did those kinds of things out of the Rose Garden. You know, for some reason it feels kind of stagey, but mm-hmm. the argument is still the same. And, you know, the Republicans have a bigger agenda about tax cuts. It's not just that they want to put the money back in people's pockets, as they say. They want to shrink government. Well,
yeah.
they've never been able to. So if you're going to be responsible about deficits, and, you know, frankly, everyone should be responsible about that, then they've got to face up to their own shortcomings. They've got to say, you know, we all need to look at both sides, both on the taxing and the spending side, if you're going to deal with deficits. And by the way, is this even the right time to be doing really big cuts? You know, Cameron is trying to do it in Britain, but that's really controversial.
Right.
Are you going to squelch the first signs of growth coming out of this recession or not? So let's have the debate, but let's first of all deal with people who are really struggling.
Yep, you're right. The government, they keep drowning in the bathtub, but it's like Glenn Close, keeps getting back up. Richard Wolff, journalist extraordinaire from MSNBC and Newsweek. We always appreciate your time. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
All right, there he goes. And also, he's the author of Renegade, you know.
Yes.
The Making of a President.
And he has a column over at the Daily Beast.
All right, we talked to legal expert Ian Millhiser about the Elena Kagan vote today in the Senate Judiciary, correct?
Yes.
As we continue, 20 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
That was strangely arousing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I get my kids above the waistline, sunshine.
that's your all gimpy below your waistline.
Shut up. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 25 minutes after the hour. Look, I can barely reach the phone.
Do you need me to move that over?
I just look like the Addams Family, just the hand, what's that thing?
Thing,
to you,
yes.
That's all you see.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 25 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
We put a picture up.
On Mama's Facebook, I am in my chaise lounge, in my cast, with my heating pad on next to my mobility scooter.
Yep.
This is how you knew things would be in the later years.
Yeah.
In the autumn years of the Stephanie Miller Show. All right. So we have Ian Millhiser coming up in just a couple of minutes to talk about the Elena Kagan nomination, which will be voted on today in the Senate Judiciary. Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday pal, Representative Elliot Engel of the great state of New York. A big, big show.
Yes. And Chicago Danny.
Oh, yeah, Danny, my pal from Chicago to ship my car here for me.
Yeah.
All right.
And he's coming on to promote his business?
Yes.
I'm not quite understanding
this. I love him. They did a fine job.
Did they?
Listen, things could have been a lot worse.
Really?
Yes.
How much worse could they have been?
All right. Can I have some drinking music, please? Oh. Listen, I appreciate the listener suggestions because, as you know, my main concern with my disability was how will I continue to drink?
Yes.
And let me just say, because I have to crawl up and downstairs,
mm-hmm.
Let me just say I'm doing fine. Coffee, wine, it's fine. One step at a time. Because, you know, I'm crawling half the time anyway.
Yeah.
So just one step at a time. You just put the drink one step ahead of you, and then you just crawl up or down.
Well, if you crawl...
It works fine.
If you crawl, you're closer to that heating grate that you generally pass out on.
Yes, exactly. It's not as big a trip down. This, however, someone has sent me the full bottle of wine goblet. It's a glass that actually holds an entire glass of wine.
Wow. An entire bottle of wine.
An entire... Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Let's see. It's here on Amazon. Just the thing for a cozy night in. Whether you prefer Chardonnay or Merlot, this is the wine glass you need. You can savor the flavor all night long as this glass can hold up to a full bottle of your favorite wine. Only $12.99. Check that out. Check it out. She can barely lift it.
Holy crap.
I don't know where this is from. It says it's the perfect glass for when you need to tell all those judgmental bitches around you that you just had one glass of wine before dinner. Thank you very much.
That's delisted.com.
It's the perfect glass for when you need to class up your act a bit around the children in the park and not drink from a bottle in a paper bag like you usually do. And it's currently on sale on Amazon. The elegant drunk in your life needs this. Specifically, the elegant and pregnant drunk in your life. Here's a review from Amazon. She's just kidding, we think. Although we were saying our mothers drank in the 60s and we turned out fine.
They also smoked.
If you consider this fine. I am in the third trimester of my pregnancy and I put myself on bed rest. Any little convenience that helps with repetitive movement is a blessing and staying in a relaxed state is critical to the well-being of both mommy and baby. So having a large glass that negates the need for repetitive pouring wine is one of the tiny little aids that helps add up to a state of relaxation. The only thing that could have improved this would have been inclusion of a very long straw. She might be kidding, but maybe she's not.
She's thinking of the baby.
Somebody's thinking of the children. All right. Thank you for that. I think I'm going to get me one of those. And then, because you know what? Then I'm crawling,
mm-hmm.
it cuts down on the number of trips I must crawl up and down the stairs with glasses of wine. So thank you. Thank you, listeners. Mama loves you. Thank you. Drawing my attention to the Amazon. All right. Ian Millhauser.
Heiser.
Legal analyst next on the Elena Kagan nomination on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Does Barry Manilow know that you raid his wardrobe?
It's very difficult to get dressed on my mobility scooter. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. But the scooter saves my, the JJ from the cold granite. Whatever that was I was sitting on to change in the bathroom.
It's more like your taint, isn't it?
34 minutes after the hour. You know, today's a big day, Chris. It's the Senate Judiciary will vote on the Elena Kagan nomination
yes.
for the Supreme Court of the United States.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Which has nothing to do with my vajayjay. So let's get on to Ian Millhauser, who is a legal policy analyst at the Center for American Progress. Good morning, Ian.
Morning. I think I need one of those big glasses of wine you were telling me about.
Yes.
Me too. So, Ian, is today just a formality, or how? You know, you've been covering these nominations forever. What is your sense on this nomination?
I think the only suspense today is what his Grahamnesty is going to do. You know, Lindsey Graham likes to dangle his vote in front of us, then yank it away at the last moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the one time he didn't yank fast enough was Sotomayor. So, you know, let's see if his Grahamnesty decides to let us grab that carrot before he yanks it away on Kagan, or if he's going to pretend to be nice and then slap us in the face at
right.
When it comes down to it.
Right, right. Well, you know... It's hard to tell. I know, you know, people are saying, oh, is she going to get more or less votes than is Sonia Sotomayor? What do you think?
I think that the right is charged up to try to hand Obama as many embarrassments as they can right now, and they think that somehow if she only gets 62 votes instead of the 68 votes that Sotomayor got, somehow that'll be embarrassing.
Right. Isn't it like being a little bit pregnant? You're a little bit confirmed to the Supreme Court. Like, who really cares in the end, right?
Yeah, you know, she gets one vote just like everyone else up there. So, you know, if they want to play these games, you know, she still gets a vote.
Right, right, exactly. Well, and that's the thing is you can't even tell. I mean, Arlen Specter, people like that, he tried to explain why he voted against her, and now he's going to vote for her. And again, was she any more forthcoming at these hearings than they ever are, the Supreme Court nominees?
For me, you know, as someone who, like, understands a lot of the secret language of constitutional law, I thought she was very forthcoming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was this exchange that the right has been touting where Tom Coburn said, you know, are you going to make us eat our vegetables?
Yeah.
Could we pass a law requiring people to eat vegetables?
Yeah, I thought he was going to start spinning on his back like a toddler in the Kmart parking lot.
Right.
because she was going to make him eat his fruits and vegetables.
And what she said I thought was very sensible. She said,
right.
Look, you know, the Supreme Court job is not to make laws.
Well, she said it would be a dumb law. That's how she, her first response. And then she was like, oh, you're serious. So then she gave,
right.
Obviously, a professorial answer that then, you're right, they used against her, right?
No, that's exactly right. But, I mean, what's so bizarre about this is we've been listening for the last 20 years about how terrible judicial activists are. And, you know, oh, God, a liberal judge might do something that changes something anywhere. And yet every minute of the Kagan hearing was conservatives screaming at Elena Kagan because she isn't enough of an activist.
Right.
You know, because she wouldn't overturn health care, which, by the way, is something Scalia won't do. Scalia has said very clearly that laws like the health care bill are constitutional. So, you know, this is just a mess.
Well, and she said she went on record as saying, I'm a liberal, right? I mean, which was fairly unusual.
She went on record and she I don't know if she said she's a liberal. She went on record saying that she's a Democrat and
right.
has been a Democrat her whole career, just like the president who appointed her. And of course, you know, there's nothing in the Constitution saying that Democrats can't be judges. despite what some
not if Scalia has his way.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, but it, do you think was that really more for the left of the party who are concerned that she's not liberal enough to fill that seat?
Well, you know, I think she is the right justice for the moment we are in right now, because the moment we are in right now is one where the right is pushing for more and more activism. You have cases like Citizens United. You have, you know, Ledbetter, another case called Gross, where they eat away at civil rights. You have all of these cases where they're taking away the laws that Congress passed to protect people. And Kagan said very clearly, look, Congress is in the driver's seat, and I'm going to be respectful of those decisions. Now, 20 years down the road, when we're at a point where, she's not going to be as aggressive as some previous judges were in advancing an individual rights agenda. And if that's your concern, then, you know, she's just not the person for that. But in terms of the battle we're fighting right now, which is to keep the victories that progressives have won in Congress and to some extent in the courts over the last 40 years, she's the right person for that job.
So you've heard, obviously. Obviously, I'm sure more than most, the what's the word, kind of, you know, nervousness in liberal circles, right?
No, I have. And I mean, I think that it comes from two places. I mean, one is there's some concerns about her views on executive power. And I'm less worried about that. She wrote an article a while back where she said that the White House should have a lot of control over the executive agencies, over the Department of Justice or the Department of Agriculture or the EPA or whatever. And that's a very different claim than the claim that Bush made. You know, Bush claimed that he doesn't have to listen to Congress. You know, he claimed that separation of powers doesn't exist. All that Kagan has said is that the president has a lot of control over, you know, what the executive branch, what his branch of government does. And I'm not sure that that's as controversial a view as some people have made that out to be.
Ian, you know, it seems like, once again, like you were saying, the Republicans, it doesn't seem like they have much of a play to run against people like Elena Kagan. Do they, when they bring up that, oh, she went to Harvard, like, that's a bad thing. I mean, don't you love that? Like, they all did. They all went to Ivy League schools. They make that sound like somehow that's snooty and elitist.
Yeah, you know, the whole nomination from the right's perspective has been watching them throw poo at the wall to see if it'll stick. They're like monkeys. I mean, if you listen to them, you'd think that Kagan is a gay Osama bin Laden who wants to come into your home and burn your books. I mean, they're making more and more ridiculous claims, and no one believes this. I mean, who could possibly believe that? I wish that more voices on the right understood that sometimes it's time to be sensible and just vote for someone who's obviously qualified.
Well, I was saying just for fun, I'd like sometime the president to send a nominee up where, you know, at the hearing they go, well, we see your degree is from Bob's Legal Barn in Boise. it is hilarious. Like that would be a bad thing to aspire to have your kid go to Harvard and Princeton, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, God forbid that we have smart Supreme Court justices or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Ian, we will check in with you, obviously, as this moves to the full vote and all of that. But thank you so much for your time, as always. And you're not an animus. You are an analyst. I think it's important to point that out.
I do what I can. Sometimes I inspire animus, I think.
All right, there he goes. Ian Millhiser from the Center for American Progress. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there he goes. All right, Lisa in Jacksonville, Florida, on Mama's giant wine glass. Hello, Lisa.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you doing this morning?
I'm fine. I'm in a chaise lounge with a heating pad on. So what? With my giant glass of wine, what could be better?
Sounds wonderful.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking that instead of making all those arduous trips up and down the stairs, you could go to Target and buy a dorm refrigerator and go ahead and plug that baby in upstairs, and there you go.
Just get a refrigerator on every floor like I have a mobility scooter on every floor?
Exactly.
My life is getting smaller and sadder as we speak.
You already have refrigerators on two floors. You just need the one for the third floor.
Yes. Oh, or you know what I could do? Maybe it would be probably less expensive than putting in the whole Olivia Soprano's motorized wheelchair on the stairs. It's just a little wine wheelchair. Just for the wine glass to go up by itself.
You know what? If you're going to put in an elevator, why not put one in for you?
Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Tim.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
You know, love to make a comment regarding Mr. Glenn Beck and his degeneration of his eyes. He's going blind.
God, did you hear that? What did he say on the air, Chris? I might or might not be going.
Yeah, he might have macular degeneration or something like that.
Well, first of all, macular dystrophy.
That's
which
it.
Is
macular degeneration.
Dystrophy. Or
dystrophy.
Oh,
yeah.
First of all, you don't go completely blind. You have enough sight where you're able to take care of yourself and see. You just lose complete focus in your eyes.
Mm.
So, yes, he would have to take some extra precautions, reading, things like that. He would not go completely blind. Second of all, isn't karma a bitch?
Oh, now, Tim.
I'm not sure. I think it is.
All right. Thank you.
Well, I don't know about that. We wish him well.
Exactly.
However, you know, it is kind of weird that Rush went deaf and Beck is going blind. Just pointing that out.
Weird how? All right, never mind. I'm not going
to... I don't know. Just coincidental?
All right.
Isn't it ironic, don't you think?
It's at least worthy of a whole Alanis Morissette song. I agree.
Okay.
All right. Speaking of which, hey, how's about we dive into the right-wing world next? I think we shall. 44 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. What?
Yeah, you just look so pathetic. If you haven't,
basically, to you, I look like the neighbor on, you know, the Tim Allen sitcom, because you can only barely see my eyes above my little chaise lounge.
Yeah. If you haven't, if you haven't seen it, go to the Stephanie Miller Show Facebook page or to twitter.com/smshow and look at the picture of you with your mobility scooter in your chaise lounge broadcasting.
With my giant cast.
Yes.
My new cast is not as sleek. It's bulkier. It looks like a clubfoot now, which is, it's just thicker. And by the way, my giant leg condom does not work, in case anyone is trying to, I went in the pool, and it's all wet, and my leg's probably going to get mildew and gangrene and, you know, fall off, as many listeners have suggested.
I'd stay out of the shower in the pool if I were you.
Oh, that'll be good news for you and Jim for the next 3 weeks.
Oh, God.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we, kids? All right, dear God, are they still trying to keep this NAACP thing going?
Yeah.
Dear God. You know, we have a lot of big problems in this country. Right-wing world is like this little anomaly, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, George Will on ABC's This Week.
There's nothing like name-calling and a kind of left-wing McCarthyism to enable the NAACP to make a desperate lunge for its vanished relevance.
Yeah, well, you know what? It seems like parts of the Tea Party agree with the NAACP in that they fired that really racist guy.
Yep.
You know, if you're too racist for the Tea Party, you are really racist.
Oh, in a couple of sound bites, that guy that was fired comes up.
Does he? Oh, good. Yeah. Good for him. Good. He's back. Oh, right. Glenn Beck on the radio. What is he talking about exactly? Over this controversy that he thinks people are out to get him?
He thinks that people are out to get him just because he's pointing out everything that the Obama administration is doing. You know, not only this controversy, but a lot of other stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, taking away our democracy.
Why do I
socialism?
Get the vague sense that the dangerous people he's talking about might be, you know, black?
I ask for you, please, to not only pray for me and my family.
Okay.
I ask that you would pray for my my staff, but also please, I beg of you to pray for all those that are associated with me. We are dealing with really, really, really dangerous people.
Oh, I see. So that should be our main concern?
Yeah.
In the country today is Glenn Beck.
He thinks Van Jones is out to get him.
Oh, I see. See what I mean?
Yeah.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black. I see. Out to get him, meaning...
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Uh-huh. By the way, put a sock in it, Glenn Beck. I get death threats, too. We all do.
And at least our death threaters get jingles.
I don't spend my radio show begging people to pray for me, for God's sakes. Exactly. Well, just give them a jingle and move on.
Sock.
That guy.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a friend to help you get to heaven.
Yes, the guy with the AK.
A special friend who's got an AK-47.
I want you to shove it up your glory hole.
He's a retired.
Do I have one?
Insurance man. With way too much time on his hands. And speaking of time, just look at the clock.
TikTok.
It's time for Sock.
The FBI might want to look into that. Jingles tend to placate people, we found.
We found that. We haven't heard from them since.
It's a tool of diplomacy. Okay.
I think he was just shocked that you called him back.
I don't spend time on my radio show whining, for God's sakes, pray for me and the moogs. All right, let's... Oh, Mark Williams is back.
Yeah.
He's the guy that was too racist even for the Tea Party.
That's right.
Okay.
Real mouthful coming from a guy from an organization with the words colored people in its title. That's a pretty racist phrase.
What? Okay, first of all, I
was taught as a small child to not use those terms. And that's part of the problem. The NAACP is a bunch of old dusty relicks trying to be relevant in the 21st
not
century.
True.
And they make money off of race baiting.
Mm. So, see, that's why I thought it was okay to use the word colored repeatedly in that wacky comedy post. The thing he wrote from the colored day, Abraham Lincoln. Okay.
You're fired.
Bill Kristol on the Brit Bear. You know, Chris, you know I'm a, I don't know if I've mentioned this, a fan of the president.
Yes, you are.
I want to give him a chance to clean up, I think, the worst messes that were ever left for a president, pretty much, in our history, including Afghanistan. But if Bill Kristol says he's right, then...
It's good for the country that President Bush resisted the entire Democratic Party in Congress for 2 years.
and it's good for the country. I think that President Obama is basically continuing President Bush's policy in Iraq, not Senator Biden or Senator Obama's policies.
Yeah, that can't be good news.
No.
Cannot be good news if Bill Kristol thinks you're right, because Bill Kristol historically, wrong about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that Michael Steele is right? And
go. Oh. Yes. Didn't we agree on that back when Michael Steele said that?
Yes.
We agreed that Michael Steele was right.
Well, he was right about that part, not about the part that Obama, Afghanistan's a war of Obama's choosing.
No.
That was, yeah.
He was right-ish. Right-ish. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim Ward. Bill O'Reilly on the old media.
Apparently, there is a growing split about how the news is covered in this country. The old guard mainstream media makes decisions based upon ideology, race, and elitism.
Oh.
The new media, of which Fox News is a part, covers what Americans believe is important to them. That's why we are a dominant number one. And I submit we have far more influence than the network news does.
Oh, I see. The stories that people really care about, like the Black Panther thing from 3 years ago that got dropped, and so that's why it's important now, because... Okay. All right. Britt Hume on O'Reilly.
I think MSNBC has gone completely in the other direction and has become a network of pure opinion. CNN certainly hasn't changed really its approach to the news to react to what we've done, the kinds of stories we pursued, the way we pursued the stories that everyone is doing and doing them in a different way and so on. So it's been a striking reality. And I think, it is to their detriment that they haven't. And the fact that they haven't wake up to the new reality means that our competitive advantage over them remains.
But you can't get that kind of clear articulation of the issues anywhere but from Britt Hume. Excuse me?
Not all journalists are bad. You like Britt Hume, don't you?
You know damn well I like Britt Hume.
And now the most riveting 2 minutes in television.
It's the golden oldies. Got to dust off the golden oldies. That concludes 8 Right Wing World. Jim, I have a Damn It Jim stack for you.
What?
It's part of the Damn It Jim stack.
We have one?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm a doctor, not a podiatrist.
It's the side effects of Jim Ward. I have them frequently that you giggle inappropriately in public at certain things that no one would understand unless you were channeling one of Jim's characters.
Sure.
This from John in Rockville, Maryland. Damn it, Jim, you've done it again. Sitting in the dentist's waiting room, I picked up a copy of a magazine entitled Garden and Gun. Amusers actually garden and gun. You like to shoot stuff in your garden? I don't know.
That exists.
I thumbed through it, finding a heartwarming article by Tom Brokaw about his two Labrador retriever hunting dogs. I began to snigger uncontrollably. However, as I began reading the opening sentence, this is the story of two Labrador ladies, one an elegant, highly intelligent, and self-confident blonde.
Oh wow!
You get the picture, John and Rockville with a Damn It Jim for today. We'll have to have you read that sentence later. Tom Brokaw gets the joke now.
Yeah.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour, back with more on the president's thoughts on the unemployment benefits and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, mama feeling good. Check it out on Facebook. I am in my chaise lounge with my heating pad on next to my mobility scooter. Life is good.
And it's also linked at twitter.com/SMShow.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after, or what's left of it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday pal, coming up in just a little bit. Oh, a couple of immature things to take care of first. Jim is Tom Brokaw, the guy that read this in the dentist's office and started snickering uncontrollably.
Hello. Okay. The magazine Garden and Gun, apparently yes. The people
Tom
who like
Brokaw.
To grow vegetables just so they can attract rabbits and blow them to smithereens. Anyway.
Yes. Uh-huh.
It's about his Labrador retrievers. This is the story of two Labrador ladies, one an elegant, highly intelligent, and self-confident blonde, the other a lackadaisical layabout with trouble controlling her bowels. Oh, I have that.
An actual Tom Brokaw article from... Garden and Gun.
Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you. All right, and someone else sent us a Johnson commercial?
Listener Steve sent us a Johnson outboard motors commercial from the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your sunrise. You caught a prize. You're mating your Johnson. Party nights, summer whites. You, your friends, and your Johnson. Reach the tails, water trails. You, your kids, and your Johnson. Saturday nights, distant lights. You, your girl, and your Johnson.
You and your Johnson. A way of life for over 50 years.
That's like one of those Cialis commercials.
Yeah. Yeah.
If your Johnson lasts more than 50 years.
Is it just me? Is it Cialis, those commercials?
Mm-hmm.
I don't... It's like LSD. It's
exactly.
Not like an erection drug. I don't understand.
High,
the walls melt
from...
away. And the,
right.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like an acid trip. I don't even understand. They're in front of the washer, and then suddenly they're the walls.
Why do we live in a forest? Wow. What?
Right. They're in a waterfall. There's
what's
the one.
That?
She's
hey.
On top of a waterfall, and then the other one, they're in twin bathtubs at the ocean. What?
What?
I don't.
It takes them a while to start boning, too.
Yeah. You'd think that's the whole point of taking the pill, that you can get to it.
I love the one
Hang on, we have to wait for four more scene changes.
I love
okay.
The one where the guy comes in with a bowl of tomatoes and holds them up next to her tomatoes. You know, that's
yeah. I think you know what we're talking
and
about.
The other one was that you just see this woman's ass from across the room. You know, she's standing on the ladder and, right at face level.
Chicks on ladders,
hey.
Yeah. All right. Julia said, I guess the quote for you, Jim.
Okay.
All right. Who said, I have a warning for Republicans. Don't underestimate Barack Obama. Consider what he has already achieved. Obamacare alone makes his presidency historic. Second, there is major financial reform, which passed Congress on Thursday. Economists argue whether it will prevent meltdowns and bailouts as promised, but there is no argument. It will give the government unprecedented power in the financial marketplace. Who said that?
Milton Friedman.
No. Charles Krauthammer.
What?
Huh? Yeah.
He's not saying, like, a good thing, but he's just saying. I'm tired of people saying he hasn't got anything done. Third is the near $1 trillion stimulus, the largest spending bill in U.S. history. That's not even counting the student loan program re-regulating carbon emissions by the Environmental Protection Agency, FIAT. The net effect of 18 months of Obamaism will be to undo much of Reaganism.
Uh-huh.
Both presidencies were highly ideological, grandly ambitious, and often underappreciated by their own side. In his early years, Reagan was bitterly attacked from his right. Typical Washington Post headline, for Reagan and the new right, the honeymoon is over, and that was 6 months into his presidency. Obama is attacked from his left for insufficient zeal on gay rights, immigration reform, closing Guantanamo. The list is long. The critics don't understand the big picture. Who said that?
Bill Walton.
No, Tom. It was Charles Krauthammer making some of the very same points Mama's made. Who said Obama is down, but it's very early in the play. Like Reagan, he came here to do things, and he's done much in his first 500 days. What he has left to do, he knows, must await his next 500 days. Those come after re-election. The real prize is 2012. Obama sees far, farther than even his own partisans. Republicans underestimate him at their peril. Who said that?
Charles Nelson Riley.
No, that was a good guess. But no. Charles Krauthammer. All right. If you have magical Disney music or ever. We've been talking about the BP well. Chris in Yankton writes, Steph and Chris and Jim, if BP's cap makes everything all wonderful and Disney-esque under the sea, does that mean instead of little mice in footy pajamas dancing on toadstools, we've got little frogs in footy pajamas riding seahorses? Yes. While mermaids swim around blowing kisses to the capped well? Yes, Chris, that's exactly what it looks like now.
Or the entire ocean floor will collapse.
Or, exactly, or it's seeping out of the ocean floor and it's going to be much worse.
Who knows? And extinction-level events.
I was talking to Richard Wolff, and I was thinking Jim is kind of hoping for that because, you know, he's kind of a glass-half-full guy, and maybe there's some bills he doesn't want to pay.
He's a glass-half-empty kind of guy.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there are reports of crops being damaged from toxic rain as far north as Ohio.
Boy.
Because of those damn dispersants, which are only in there to hide the oil, and it made it much, much worse.
Yeah. All right, someone has sent me a future husband stack. An Arizona man visiting family in Wisconsin was placed under arrest earlier this month after admitting to firing shots at invisible clowns during a drug-induced stupor.
Oh, no. Oh.
No one was injured.
Yeah.
Nobody except was shot. The invisible clowns.
Sounds like a Stephen King novel.
Yeah.
And now, a story about a dog.
What do you could read about that in Garden and Gun magazine?
Shooting Garden invisible and clowns. Gun.
Only if the clowns are in your garden.
And they're dressed like rabbits.
Yes. I love how they just think that goes together like bed and breakfast.
Yeah.
Garden and gun. What?
What?
What? Why do I need a gun in my garden?
But it's kind of like...
It's a lot of...
Although, I've been thinking about it. I might get in this magazine because I've been thinking about it because of the wild parrots. You guys have heard them. And it's not pretty. They've mated back there. And, yes. Now I have the gay guys with the Cher music and I got wild parrots. And boy band next door. It's a little... It's a cacophony at my house. Kingdom. My kingdom for a Garden and Gun subscription.
Garden and Gun is like biathlon. You know, who thought of putting shooting and skiing together?
Running and shooting, not generally a good combination.
Running, scuba diving, and shooting at the same time. Yeah, that sounds good.
It's like the running with scissors competition in the Olympics. All right. This is a story about a dog.
Oh.
Because I thought my dog's the smartest dog. Max and Friends is the smartest dog ever.
A story about a dog.
Thank you. Dog trapped in hot car honks to alert owner.
Oh.
Yay. That's smart. Goodbye. Don't leave your dog in your car, you morons.
Smart dog.
In Pennsylvania, a veterinarian says a dog trapped in a car on a 90-degree day in eastern Pennsylvania honked the horn until he was rescued.
Aww.
A chocolate Labrador, much like Tom Brokaw's.
Chocolate Labrador.
Max, his name is Max, like my dog. Max's owner had gone shopping, was unloading packages when she returned and forgot that Max was still in the car. She later heard the horn honking and looked outside several times, saw nothing. Finally, she went outside and saw Max sitting in the driver's seat, honking the horn. Seriously, you know me, I'm a big dog rescue person. Mm-hmm. It's a very important thing in the summer. Don't leave your dog in the car, for God's sakes.
Especially if you live in Phoenix.
But leave him the keys so he can turn on the air conditioning.
So he can go home. Exactly. He's got stuff to do, too. Mary in Long Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mayor.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Thank God you're keeping me sane. You're so funny.
Thank you.
I'm so through the... Well, anyway, I watch C-SPAN, so you don't have to.
Thank you.
Well, we found a topic that somebody all agrees upon, all across the political spectrum. Everybody loves Elizabeth Warren and wants her to head the new consumer protections.
She's awesome.
She is. And plus, the people love her. There's a huge online petition thing going on. I don't know if you know that. There's about two or three different sites. I just Googled one and signed it, too. And people are like, so hopefully that will come to pass. And even some of the C-SPAN calls were amazing. Wow, it's something we all agree on. This is amazing.
Exactly. And he's, by the way, the Tea Party, they're fighting with each other. All the Tea Parties. Have you seen that?
I have.
Hilarious. Let's see. The two of the Tea Party movement's largest organizations at odds Monday after the... the fight over the NAACP resolution.
Right.
So on Sunday, the Tea Party Federation, the umbrella organization, expelled Tea Party Express, that guy.
You're fired.
Yes. Over the actions of one of its leaders, Mark Williams, who wrote the hilarious letter from the coloreds to Abraham Lincoln. And then I love this, the group that is with Mark Williams basically released a statement saying, they're not the boss of us. They're not the... Groups trying to say who can or can't be expelled from the Tea Party. It's arrogant and preposterous.
And French and gay.
You're not the boss. I love them. They keep trying to still say the Democrats are the ones in disarray.
Right.
All right. Jeff in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning. I just wanted to comment on Brit Hume and Bill O'Reilly and their math as far as dominance on the airwaves. If you do some basic math, you find that they're 25 or so percent of the overall public that watch them do, you know, you can find that through the polls of the people that still support the Tea Party and so on.
Right.
And the remaining 75% is split between the other five news outlets. At maximum, any one of them would be about 20%. It's because they cater to the bat crap crazy right wing.
Yes.
That's why they have some basic dominance.
That are intensely concerned about the new Black Panther incident from 3 years ago.
Which was a countermeasure to the right wing sending people to the wrong polling places and putting people out at these polling stations. It had nothing to do with intimidation of voters. It was trying to keep the right wing from intimidating voters and sending them to the wrong places.
Yep, exactly. All right. 17 minutes. Yeah, by the way, just FYI, not one person complained of losing their vote, being intimidated.
Which is why the Bush administration dropped it.
Mm-hmm. All right. 18 minutes. You'd think as an arm of the Bush administration, Fox News would have gotten the memo.
God, they're kind of stupid over there.
What the fuck?
They're kind of stupid over there at Fox News, aren't they?
18 minutes after the hour. Back with the president's thoughts on unemployment benefits yesterday as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. You know, Chris, had I gotten a long stroke, I think the masseuse would have admired my P90X body, don't you think?
Yes. How do you feel after 90 days of P90X?
I feel magical. I do.
She looks magical.
I feel stronger. I feel more confident. It is a miracle. It really is. You have to try it to know what we're talking about. You've heard a lot of the people writing us, people calling. You've read magazine stories about it. Now you got to try it. You just have to try it with Mama. And here's what you do. You can get a 90-day radio exclusive in-home trial. You can try it with me for the full 90 days. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a refund. It is a full program, isn't it, Christopher? You've been doing it.
Absolutely.
You get strength training, cardio, yoga, a nutrition program.
Yes.
And you get magic.
Stephanie looks so good naked, you can see the pictures at johnfugelsang.com.
I don't know what he's talking about. Call 800-509-9438. That's 800-509-9FIT. Or go right to stephaniemiller.com. Click on that there P90X banner ad, won't you?
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Mary in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mayor.
Hey, Steph and Mooks. I'm calling in as the official spine nurse of the Stephanie Miller Show. And
hello.
That's what I do.
Really?
I have been a spine nurse for years. I coordinate a big spine program in Seattle.
Wow. I didn't know you could be a nurse of just one area of the body. I did not realize this.
Oh, you can. That's the fun of it.
Okay.
You pick the body part.
All right.
So I'm really concerned about what you're doing today, and I don't want to be one of those, tattletales or whatever, but you're not supposed to be laying down like that for long periods of time. It's really bad for your back.
Really?
And it is. And I'm wondering if you have you been to a physical therapist yet?
No, I've been to every other kind of doctor though.
But you know what? That's what you need to do, honestly.
Yeah.
That's the best advice I could give you. Not just a physical therapist, but you need to see an occupational therapist. They usually work in the same type of clinic or office. And the occupational therapist can actually do what they call a home visit. Come over to your house. And what they do is they help you figure out how to do the things you do every day in your life with the deficit that you have right now, which is the cast. Because you're not using your body muscles and your spine properly right now with that cast on, which is normal for people, because you're all out of kilter now.
Yes,
and
I'm all cattywampus.
You are. sure. So you really need to get an expert to show you how to move with the cast, how to position yourself, mm-hmm. how to lift things, how to bend, how and really laying on and heat on your back. It's okay for a while, but not for 3 hours.
Right.
Really?
So you need to use some ice, and you should.
Well, Jim Ward has offered to help quite a bit. He's offered to do some hip openers. He's offered to have me. You know, to position my feet on his shoulders in a way that will
probe
you.
Position, but please make an appointment with a physical
right.
and occupational therapist
right.
because
right.
I'm really concerned about what you're doing. You're going to be in more pain when you get through with the show today, and I don't want to have you in
all
pain.
All right. Thank you, Spine
right,
Nurse. All right, Mary. Thank you.
You know what? When I had, I don't know if you remember this. Remember when I had really serious lower back pain about 10 years ago?
Yes.
It's been chronic. And I went to a physical therapist, and they told me actually how to lay, to sleep at night, and that helped get rid of most of it.
Wow.
I still have bouts of
Man.
It, but it helped me.
I wish I had a spine nurse when I hurt my back like 12 years ago.
So, yeah, physical therapist would really, right. really help you.
I thought she meant an occupational therapist, like someone that would tell me to get into another occupation because this one's not,
well.
You know, working so well. All right. Yeah, you've had a pain in your neck almost ever since you started working with me. It's weird.
Well, you know what? It started in 1997. It went away for about 4 years until 2004.
Wait a minute.
And then it came back.
Wait, huh?
That's weird.
Just a little, but a little sabbatical you had for me. Everything seemed to clear up. All right. Shauna in Reno, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Shauna.
Hi, Mama. How are you?
go ahead.
I just was calling in. I'm going to hear Sharon Engel speak tonight, which I feel is a moderately terrifying experience.
Yes.
But I wanted to call you because I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
And I think all you guys are very well informed, and you deal with a lot of interesting characters on a daily basis. But from my perspective, you always keep your cool and have great questions to ask back. So I was hoping you could give me a couple of pointers so when I go into this lovely experience and they open the floor to questions, I can ask something pointed and interesting and not just say, I disagree with you. And
here's a question for Sharon Engel. Ask her, do you think if they follow your plan and destroy the entire Department of Education, do you think people someday will still be stupid, even be stupid enough to vote for you? Just ask that and see what she says.
Oh, perfect.
That's
I'm still not sure people would be stupid enough to vote for her, but maybe. I don't know. Harry Reid's ahead, isn't he, in the latest polls?
Barely.
That's a good question, And we're hoping he stays ahead, but it's kind of scary. So I'm going for my own education. I want to be an educated voter, but it could be very interesting.
Okay. Well, let's hope crazy isn't catching. Thank you, Shauna. All right.
And Sharon Engel's not the chicken lady, is she?
No. She's the even crazier lady than the chicken lady.
And she's potentially winning, especially since no one has changed the... the way votes are counted.
You know what, though? Harry Reid is fighting. He's fighting hard.
Good.
And he's good at it. He's really good at it. He's making this campaign all
boxer.
About her.
He's a former boxer, you
right,
know.
Right, right.
All right.
I'm just going to rope a doper. I'm just going to stay here on the ropes.
Liz in Seattle real quick. Hey, Liz.
Hey, I'm your in-home mental health occupational therapist.
Oh, thank God.
And we can deal with, you know, all the things relating to your physical disabilities and your drinking.
Well, it's a solution. It's not a problem.
Well, really not so much.
No, whatever. Every party's got its pooper.
I want to say that you really don't drink that
much.
No,
I'm not really a drunk. I just play one on the radio.
Because you weigh 8 pounds. It takes a thimbleful to get you drunk.
29 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Trust me, this woman,
Stephanie Miller,
has a plan, and it's diabolical and it's Machiavellian scope.
You okay over there?
Listen, I had to go to the bathroom. It was a whole thing. My headphone cord got caught, my mobility scooter,
You look like you were climbing into a mercury capsule, you know, when they had to, like, stuff them into the...
Oh, boy. I'm in trouble with my spine nurse. 34 minutes.
And your mental health nurse.
Yeah. Whatever.
We need to talk to you about your drinking.
Listen, one problem at a time. That's a solution. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. By the by, here is some good news. Millions of people stuck on the jobless rolls would receive an extension of unemployment benefits, averaging $309 a week under a Senate bill that appears to be set to break free of a Republican filibuster. You know, can you believe that talking point from the Republicans? Like, oh, it just makes people want to stay on unemployment. Who the hell can live on $300 a week? Who is that? Who aspires to that? Like, yeah, I don't want to get a job because I want this cushy $300 a week.
Shows they have no faith in the American people.
Yeah, a bunch of lazy bastards. You give them that stuff, they're just gonna yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. The president.
That's
yesterday.
Why they have to steal elections.
Yes. Right now, these benefits that are often the person's sole source of income while they are looking for work are in jeopardy.
He also said, I know it's getting close to an election, but there are times you put elections aside. This is one of those times. You know, and he made the point that this has been a bipartisan thing. It's so unbelievable. It's such a drop in the bucket compared to what the Bush tax cuts cost us that it's just amazing. Like,
they voted for
these unemployment. I know.
But now.
Yeah.
Now the black guy's in there.
All his lazy friends just want that big government money. Okay.
Welfare queens and Cadillacs again.
Yeah, here we go. It's Tuesday, everybody.
There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
I'm just riding along in my mobility scooter next to the clown car. Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
To be or not to be, that is the question. And where do I get paid for it?
Let me just tell you, some Charlie Pierce-isms stick in the lexicon, and Princess Dumbass of the North Woods.
is that my major contribution to our national dialogue?
Yes.
It is.
Fabulous.
Yes.
That's the word you made up just like Shakespeare makes up words.
Exactly. And no one would repudiate that.
I'm just like doing that. What didn't George Bush once say? He'd read a few Shakespeare's.
Yeah.
Am I making up that quote?
No.
That's exactly.
You
that's
are
accurate.
Remembering correctly.
Ever a few Shakespeare's.
Yeah. By the way, you heard her latest boner. She incorrectly called Alaska's Kodiak Island the largest island in America on her little Facebook thing. The Big Island of Hawaii, of course, would be the big.
Well, you know that the
biggest island
that
in America.
Our Kenyan socialist usurper was allegedly born in Hawaii, so that doesn't count.
Exactly. Exactly. By the way, she was endorsing a candidate. Where is she? Where was for the? Where is she? Where is this candidate? Oh, Senate candidate in New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, yes.
Do you know who this is?
Kelly. Is this the auto dealer, Batty, or whatever his name is?
Kelly Ayotte.
Oh, so she's endorsing the Republican favorite up there.
Wow.
Interesting.
She also strayed a bit from the facts in praising Kelly for having won a case before the U.S. Supreme Court.
Uh-oh.
As State Attorney General Ayotte defended a law requiring parental notification for teenagers seeking abortions, but it was repealed after the U.S. Supreme Court sent it back to a lower court. So she was also wrong about that. She's a little fact challenge, isn't she?
She's a little fact challengey. Facty challengey. Yeah, that's interesting, though, that she's actually endorsing the favorite up there, because Kelly Ayotte, there's a piece in the Boston Globe, in fact, today, where Kelly Ayotte is being pecked to death by the ducks of the Tea Party right now. She's got not one, but two Tea Party opponents.
Oh, dear
wow.
God. Right. Yay. So, yeah, and by the way, the factions of the Tea Party are fighting each other, as we've been talking about.
I discovered today that guy, Mark Williams.
Yes.
He used to be a producer at the local Boston crazy right-wing talk radio station.
Yeah, he and
WRKO. I didn't know that.
And he was a talk radio host, and he would fill in for Rush Limbaugh every once in a while, too, a few years ago.
Oh, Roger.
Filling in for Rush, he must have had to bring, like, his grandparents and stuff.
Yeah.
The chair is, like, huge.
You know, that's what that Roger Hedgehog used to do.
Hedgecock.
Excuse me?
Cock.
Oh, pardon me. I always get that wrong, Charlie. It's Hedgecock.
You can't keep the hog straight from the cock. You just, you know.
You don't belong in radio.
You do not belong in radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I discovered this today, that this guy was formed in the right-wing radio.
Yeah.
World, which
yeah.
of course is not having any real impact on our politics anywhere.
Now, as the funniest
entertainers,
the funniest writer in America, what did you think of his hilarious satirical piece
from
Coloreds to President Lincoln?
I'm sure I'm sure that there's a subtle level of humor that I did not get, but it really read like something that should be stapled to a lamppost in some town square in Alabama.
That kind of comedy.
I'm a funny guy, but I promise that.
So we were talking about, you know, the president talking about unemployment benefits. Don't you think, I mean, finally, the Republicans are just in such a hypocritical situation with trying to say no to unemployment benefits, which they voted for under Bush, which, you know, pretty much under any president they voted for. At the same time, they're saying it's okay to extend the Bush tax cuts, which are going to cost us $650 billion.
You know what? It's really good politics, generally, I've found, to give people money. There's a lot of votes in
people
giving
like
people,
bags
people
of
like
money.
Being given money, especially when they can't, you know, eat or anything like that.
Right.
So yes, I do think the report. I mean, at this point, they're just stomping their feet and saying no.
Right.
This is very plainly a political strategy. It may work, it may not, but they know as well as anybody else that this is a very good way to stimulate the economy. People with money buy things, and people buy things. People have to make things, and if people make things, they have to hire people to make things.
Right.
And lo and behold, that's the way the economics works.
Right. But the other part of that, the Bush tax cuts. I mean, you know, I think Paul Krugman was writing about this. The idea that tax cuts are free. They just keep saying it, and it's not true.
Hey, look, Jonathan Chait writes for the New Republic. He's probably the most sober, semi-moderate liberal in the history of the world. He wrote an entire book about supply-side economics, and by the third page, he was calling people loons.
Yeah.
People who are attached to this philosophy either don't know or don't care about anything that happens in the real world. No, tax cuts don't pay for themselves.
Right.
You know, it doesn't work. It didn't work under Reagan. It didn't work under Bush, too. Bush 1 knew full well it didn't work because he's the one who pinned the phrase voodoo economics on it, and that was in 1980.
Right. Right. Well, that's what, you know, Paul Krugman's piece was yesterday. We were talking about redo that voodoo. I mean, it's – and the latest guy is Marco –
Rubio.
Thank you.
Rubio.
Thank you. Yeah. He said jobless, this is the position they're in. Jobless benefits must be paid for, but tax cuts for the rich will pay for themselves. I mean, that literally.
Allegedly it stimulates the economy and people start new businesses, right? No, they don't. You know what they do? They put the money in the bank. They put the money in hedge funds. They buy things, but
right.
They don't buy things that benefit. They don't buy things that create jobs. They buy more wealth.
Right. And we have specific numbers. They're right in front of me. The $678 billion is what the extension of the Bush tax cuts for the wealthiest 2% will cost. Unemployment benefits, $33 billion is what we're talking about.
Exactly, and you're also on simple fairness grounds, you're dealing with people who've had a pretty good ride of it over the last 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really time for everyone to chip in.
Yeah, exactly. So what the hell is going on with the with BP in the oil well? Do you think it's I'm not sure. I don't know. Is it me that I don't have a lot of confidence when they say that's no cause for alarm? The seeping.
Yeah, I think
it's probably fine.
I'm not a geological engineer. I just play one on the Stephanie Miller show.
Yes.
But this what they're doing at the point of the leak seems to be working a little bit. Hooray!
But
I don't have any faith that there aren't problems that they're not telling us about.
Yeah. They. I'm.
I mean, I just don't trust these people anymore.
Well, listen to Thad. This is Thad Allen yesterday.
There have been three general areas of anomalies that have been detected since the 17th of July. The first one was a seepage about 3 nautical miles from the wellhead itself. We do not believe that is associated with this particular well integrity test or the Macondo well. However, we are continuing to look at baseline data associated with past activity that's in the area, and we'll continue to monitor that moving forward.
So that could be an additional seepage.
Oh, yes.
Oh, boy.
Do you have any idea what he just said?
I don't know. I just wish that it was Brokaw talking about the anomalies in the well head.
I honestly don't know what he just said. He apparently says there are three areas on the ocean floor that might explode.
Yeah, but I wouldn't worry about that.
And we're not worried about it, but we're keeping an eye on them.
Right, right. He went on to say this. He talked about seepage once again. There is,
it is a collective opinion of the folks that are talking about this, that the small seepages we are finding right now do not present, at least at this point, any indication that there is a threat to the wellbore.
In other words,
unless, of course, the ocean floor ruptures.
I don't like the phrase "at this point" wedged in there.
Yeah, that makes me
a little nervous. That's a three-word phrase you can drive a tanker through right there.
Yeah, I think Richard Wolff was saying that used to be what they would talk about the Lester potato chips. They'd say it's small seepage and it's nothing to worry about. There should be no extinction level event that will lead to.
As far as we know, at this point,
God,
we hope.
I, I, I miss my credibility. I really do. I kind of like it.
Well, I was worried when Obama had that his little speech and ended with pray. Just pray. That's all we've got.
That's all.
Uh-oh.
That's it.
That's
really?
All. Uh-oh.
What do you know that you're not telling us?
Okay, okay. You know what? I'll pray, and I still won't eat any oysters for a while if it's okay with you.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday pal, author of Idiot America, out in paperback.
Yes, it is. And we shall, we shall see you next week.
You are right.
When we discover more Shakespeare.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Study more Shakespeare.
From the Boston Globe. There he goes, Charlie Pierce. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Have no fear. Steffi's here. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Representative Elliot Engel of the great state of New York coming up on the Newsmaker Hotline. Mark in Albuquerque sends Mama a little Homer Simpson drop. Mm-hmm.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yay!
Obama should have said, pray, and I suggest you start drinking heavily.
Karen in
Stephanie's got that covered.
Listen, I'm ahead of it. I'm ahead of him. Karen in Connecticut.
Hi, good morning, Mama and Moo.
Hello.
And I hope you heal quickly, because it's so sad listening to your troubles.
Thank you.
But I was thinking about the midterms coming up, and I remember that when the Republicans wanted to reelect Bush, they were saying that we shouldn't change horses in midstream. And now I'm thinking that since we're moving in the right direction with the Democrats in charge, that voting for Republicans would be like shooting your horse halfway across the river and then swimming back to shore the other way.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Karen, for that horse analogy. Appreciate that. Yeah, I was confused about the whole horse analogy back then as well. You remember, there was a bumper sticker. Why change horses mid-apocalypse?
Yes.
Okay. The president yesterday on unemployment.
After years of championing policies that turned a record surplus into a massive deficit, the same people who didn't have any problems spending hundreds of billions of dollars on tax breaks for the wealthiest Americans are now saying we shouldn't offer relief to middle-class Americans like Jim or Leslie or Denise, who really need help.
Sure, you got 3 jobs. That's great. American way.
Same as my mother.
Same age as my mother.
All right. Again, talking about...
It's time to stop holding workers laid off in this recession hostage to Washington politics.
Yeah, he, you know, the other thing is, they were talking about yesterday that he always uses himself, too, because I think he is one of our, at least the only president I can think of in memory that really did have more of a hard scrabble upbringing. I mean, mm-hmm. he really, and he experienced, you know, being that he's that young, too. I think Robert Gibbs said that it wasn't that long ago he was dealing with actually real world stuff. Gibbs said, if you look at him, you see someone who's relatively young who hasn't served in Washington for that long. The truth is he's just not that far removed from a life in which he worried about repaying college loans or worried about the health of his children. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he talks about, he said, anybody who's been out of work, and by the way, I've been out of work, knows the feeling you get when you're out of work. It's not just because you're worried about paying the bills. It's because a job is about meeting one's responsibility mm-hmm. and taking care of one's family.
It's about personal pride, too. Your pride just gets devastated.
Listen, Mama was out of work for 2 years. Boy, howdy do I know. As Jim always says, I didn't hit a rough patch in the road. I was the road.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, that's the, you know, they joked about, like, Bush Sr., he didn't know what a supermarket scanner was. I mean, the fact is, he's one of the only presidents that has really dealt with this stuff, with growing up without a father, and his mother, you know, was on food stamps some of the time, and he just paid off college loans. I love part of the story they were talking about, that he and Michelle still dash off to parent-teacher conferences.
Yeah.
That's got to be a little intimidating, isn't it, if you're the teacher?
You gave
just
her a
saying.
B? Really? A B? You sure
when
about that?
There's, you know, the possibility of the IRS airstrikes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You might be tempted to fudge the grade a little.
We do have extra predator drones, you know.
You know, When these parent-teacher conferences happen, don't the parents usually have to sit in those, like, little fourth-grade desks?
Yes.
Can you imagine Obama sitting in one of those little fourth-grade desks?
Secret Service on either side looking at the teacher. Malia and Sasha are the smartest children ever in the history of the world. Thank you for coming, sir. All right. Representative Jim Clyburn yesterday on unemployment.
Give us the unemployment insurance for the American people so that they can begin to continue to spend and stimulate this economy.
Thank you. You brought that up earlier, Chris. That's, you know,
can't stimulate the economy if you don't have a job.
Right.
Exactly. Representative Tom Price, Republican of Georgia.
Republicans aren't opposed to unemployment insurance. Republicans are opposed to unemployment insurance that's not paid for. If we're borrowing money from China in order to pay our citizens unemployment coverage, unemployment insurance, that's just wrong.
But tax cuts for the rich aren't paid
money
for
to the rich
either.
But it wasn't wrong when he voted for it. When George Bush was president.
You know, I'm down to my last billion. So, you know, I need some help.
So I feel your pain. That's the thing that just, it really is stunning. The big point that everybody made on the show yesterday about deficits and the Bush, as huge as they were, he didn't even include the wars.
Right.
I mean, even then they didn't say a peep about the deficit.
Right.
When he was running it up with the tax cuts and with the wars. Right-wing tool Mike Pence of Indiana talking about the tax cuts and the deficit.
The deficit this year is $1 trillion for the second year in a row and more. The American people have had it with runaway federal spending, deficits, and debt.
By the way, does anyone know, how did Bush get away with that? How do you not put two enormously expensive wars on the books? So that's not even part of the huge deficit that you left.
He got away with it because Republicans were in power in Congress.
Mike Pence.
So whether it's tea parties or town hall meetings all across this country, the American people are tired of borrowing and spending and bailouts and takeovers. And I believe they're poised to express themselves in the midterm elections.
The American people want to give us more money, the rich people. They know that as we're going to trickle right down on them eventually.
Yeah. George in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on tax cuts as well. Hey, George.
Hey, if what you is true about tax cuts not paying for themselves, why is it that revenues grew to record levels when they cut the taxes?
You're using this argument that I've heard before.
I'm looking it up on the internet.
Tax cut. Oh, I see. So the internet it says that tax cuts they're just free. They just pay for themselves.
See, you're assuming that that money was already supposed to be the government's. It's not earmarked to be the government money.
Yes, it is.
It's ours. And if you have a policy of not taking it from people in the first place, then they have more room to build and grow their businesses.
The tax cut went to the richest top 1%.
For them to do that.
Those are the people who create jobs.
It's $648 billion. If you don't, how do you figure that doesn't cost us anything?
That wasn't your money to begin with. That wasn't
yes, it was.
Money.
Yes, it was. It was. It's taxation with representation. Absolutely, it was.
It's not the government's
Look,
money.
Yes, it is. I just told you.
It is $648 billion that we are not getting from people that are not paying their fair share. How is that hard to understand?
That money is supposed to be ours to start with. That's where we start. You are
the top 1%.
It's not ours.
The top 1% don't stimulate
George.
The economy. They don't buy.
They don't
buy refrigerators.
Yeah, they don't.
And
no, they don't.
The top 1% is employing me as we speak.
What?
And the more you cut their taxes, the more of me they can hire.
That's absolutely false.
Crap.
The more money they can send overseas so that they don't have to pay their fair share.
Do you know how much profit they're making now, and they're not hiring?
Jealous? Why don't you grow your business?
Yeah, Stephanie, why don't you grow your business?
I don't need any more
moogs.
I got enough aggravation. Why do I need more moogs?
Wow. People actually buy that crap.
Am I jealous?
I mean, he didn't sound like he was reading from the paper. He actually believed that.
Yeah.
He's been hypnotized.
Wow. Yeah, I guess what was BP's profit last year or any of these corporations? Oh, I see. If they only had more.
Sure, if they just had more billions,
profit,
then they would
sure.
build
then they'd
the
hire
wells
more.
Better.
Uh-huh.
Or not.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Can we get me a chimp as an intern?
Maybe no.
Someone that can just fetch things and
no.
Help me. Not a voiced monkey. A real chimp.
I draw the line at going out to get you a chaise lounge. I'm not going to go out and get you a chimp.
Chris called me from Target yesterday, Jim, to find out if this was the right sort of chaise lounge for Mama. That I'm laying in my heating pad due to my... Oh, my back spasming because of my broken leg that's in a cast. All right.
And
other than that...
You're lucky that I could find one. It is getting to be out of chaise lounge season. There were two chaise lounges in the entire store.
You covet this chaise lounge.
I do.
You can't wait to knock my battered body out of it and take it to your little hovel.
Or at least, you know, when you die, I'll get it.
No, the chimp will get it.
I'm going to leave everything to my chimp.
Yeah.
It is the...
For God's sake, just die!
So I can get that damn chaise lounge.
Yes.
I see you still left the tag on it.
I did.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Oh, also you can see Mama in her lounge chair on my Facebook page.
Yes, and also at Twitter.com/SMShow.
Oh, and I'm also next to my mobility scooter with my heating pad and my giant cast on. All right.
You need a banana seat for that mobility.
And, yes, and a big like, you know, what's that thing?
Tall flag.
A big tall flag.
Uh-huh. And, oh, no, those little streamers that come out of the ends of the handlebars.
I was getting some good speed up in the Clear Channel parking lot in my scooter this morning.
That's because there's a hill in there.
Doing a couple Evel Knievel jumps over the handicap spaces. All right, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. I'm going to make Jim write a Tom Brokaw coming up soon about the anomalies in the well.
Tom Brokaw, formerly of NBC Nightly News. Tests on the rupture BP well on the Gulf will go on for another 24 hours as federal and BP officials try to explain anomalous pressure readings and possible leaks. The federal government's point man on the spill said Monday. Admiral Allen added that the possibility remained that the well had been breached and that oil and gas were escaping to the surrounding rock and perhaps even into the Gulf.
Thanks, Jim. See, doesn't it seem more fun now? All right. Representative Elliot Engel of the great state of New York joins us now to talk about unemployment insurance and much more. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Thank you so much for taking time, as always.
No, it's my pleasure. I was just listening for the past 2 minutes. It's the best fun I've had all morning.
I apologize for that. So it looks like we have good news on the unemployment benefits. Tell us what's happening.
Well, the Senate's voting today, and we expect that because of the swearing in of the new senator from West Virginia, that Harry Reid believes he has 60 votes to be able to bypass any kind of filibuster. And, of course, what's been going on with the Senate is an absolute disgrace. We figure that about 1.7 million unemployed workers have lost their unemployment insurance benefits because of the latest Republican Senate nonsense. And it's just really unconscionable. You know, they've been playing these games all year long. You know, it's Senator Coburn, then it's somebody else, then it's somebody else. It's just ridiculous. Senator Bunning. They ought to really be ashamed of themselves, and we should be ashamed of ourselves if we don't keep telling the American public for the November election what Republicans are doing, and by blocking benefits for the most vulnerable Americans. I had a woman come up to me yesterday in my district saying that she didn't know what to do because she's out of work. She's tried to get work. She can't get work. And she said, if I don't have a check, I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose everything.
Right.
And how these people can be so callous and just turn away with this nonsense about how somehow or other giving people unemployment benefits is is the opposite of creating jobs, or that we give these people no incentive to find jobs. These people would find jobs if there were jobs.
Yeah, and that's the American dream, to get that $300 check for unemployment and support your family on that.
Right, absolutely. And it's the jobs that were lost under the Bush administration. We're getting back private sector jobs. We have 83,000 more in June and 600,000 private jobs this year. And when you look at the Bush administration, there were 670,000 in 8 years losses of private sector jobs. So, you know, we're getting there. It's just been a long, tough slog. And as I always say, you know, we cannot expect President Obama to clean up in 1.5 years the mess that George Bush made in 8 years.
Well, and I think he made that point yesterday that, you know, this has been a bipartisan thing. The Republicans voted for unemployment benefits to be extended under George Bush. I mean, it's just, you're right, the most blatant obstructionism. And may I go as far to say un-American? You know, in America, we help each other when we're down. I mean, that's part of the American spirit, isn't it?
It is part of the American spirit. And, this is unprecedented because since 1959, the government's never allowed extended employment benefits to expire when the employment rate is above 7.2%. Has not happened in 50 years. And if we just take the past 2 years, Republicans have blocked the bill four times, in February 2009, February 2010, March 2010, and June 2010. So, you know, it's just a matter of the most vulnerable people. They never hesitated to cut taxes for the rich, even though it meant less money coming in to balance the budget. Now they're suddenly budget hawks. When they had control of the White House and both houses of Congress for 6 years, they never cut anything. They never got the budget in balance. They never moved towards getting the budget in balance. And suddenly now that Obama's president and Democrats control the House and the Senate, suddenly they've become a deficit hawks. It's an epiphany they've had.
Well, your colleague, Representative Chris Van Hollen, had this to say about the tax cuts yesterday.
That's $700 billion over 10 years. You hear all this talk about deficit reduction that they don't want to pay for.
I mean, isn't it just, it just seems not only economically untenable, but politically untenable to be saying no to, what is it, $30 billion in unemployment while you want to keep $50 billion in the Bush tax cuts for the top 1%?
Well, it's ludicrous, and of course they, we want to do more stimulus because when you want to jumpstart the economy, by stimulus, by its very nature, is not paid for. You know, you inject the money into the economy, and then hopefully the economy turns around, and then you can cut back, but not right now. But they've blocked everything, so there's no more stimulus. It's what they've done throughout Obama's tenure. They're the party of no. They just say no. There were no on health care. They were no one doing something with climate change and global warming. They're no with unemployment benefits. They're no on the stimulus. And they've made a crass political calculation that just by voting no and blocking things, it'll bring down the House. People will be dissatisfied and they'll reap the benefits. They should be ashamed of themselves because they may or may not reap the benefits, but certainly the country is not reaping the benefits, and that should be of paramount concern to everybody in Washington, not the political benefits of one party or another.
You know, I don't know if you happened to see Meet the Press. Did you catch it this past Sunday?
No, I didn't.
But I mean, it just, I thought, boy, for once, it was, who was it, Jeff Sessions and John Cornyn and the Republicans. David Gregory really got them in a corner saying, I'm not hearing an answer here. What are the painful choices Republicans are prepared to cut the deficit? Cornyn responded that he would wait for President Obama's debt commission report, which will come after the election. Gregory said, wait a minute, conservatives need a Democratic president's debt commission to figure out what it is they need to cut. I mean, they expose themselves, I think, time and again as being the party of no ideas, don't they?
They have no ideas, and the last ideas were 8 years of the Bush administration. I mean, they really want to go back to those policies. They want the tax cuts for the rich. They want to, increase the burden on working people and the middle class and poor people. And this is what they did, and they blew the budget. I like to remind my Republican colleagues that when Bill Clinton left office, we had unprecedented surpluses in this country, and in the 8 years of Bush, unprecedented deficits. And, of course, Obama has added to the deficit because the economy economy is so bad, in order to get out of recession, and which could have been a depression, we had to do these stimulus monies. And they may not be popular, but they were the right thing to do.
Right. And I think it can't be said enough. He also put the wars on the books, which President Bush did not. So that was not his deficit. That was a deficit that was already George Bush's, but that he just decided not to count, right?
Right, absolutely. You know, two wars unpaid for, all these other things unpaid for, and now we want to do things that would actually benefit people and help them in their lives just to make ends meet, and suddenly everything has to be paid for. It's just absolutely hypocritical.
I don't know if you caught the other moment. Did you hear about your colleague, Republican Peter King, was on Bill Bennett's radio show, and he seemed to admit why Republicans refused to give specifics. He said Republicans shouldn't lay out a complete agenda because people might not like it. You know, so that's the thing. It's easy to sit back and say no and you know, shoot spitballs, right? But it's like they literally, I think, sometimes are caught in moments of going, well, we don't have a better idea.
Well, they certainly don't. And you know what? This is a repeat of what they did with Bill Clinton when he first became president. You know, we sort of forget it was Whitewater and it was Travelgate and it was everything that they could throw at him, mud and whatever, and then try to, in 94, disrupt health care. And you know, and they reap benefits. They won the Congress back in 94, and they think that they're going to do the same thing again.
Yep. Oh, I gotta give you another nugget from the King interview. He also argued that the Bush tax cuts, quote, saved our economy.
Are we gonna go to Alice in Wonderland? We can have some tea with her, you know.
Representative Elliot Engel of the great state of New York, thanks as always for your time. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, always a pleasure. Stephanie.
You too, sir. There he goes, Representative Elliot Engel. What does that say about his life when 2 minutes of my show is the best part of his day? Oh. I think it was Jim's Tom Brokaw that did it.
Especially since it was like 2 minutes of throwaway conversation. There was nothing meaty in there, you know?
It was it's packing material.
Yeah.
All right. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's life-altering. It's soul-changing. It's the summit of all human desire.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Not right now. You're not dancing machine right now.
I'm chair dancing in my little chaise lounge. I hate being at the kids' table. You guys are you're up too high. 22 minutes after the hour.
We're like David Letterman. You know how he makes his guests sit lower than him?
It's a power thing.
It is.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Julie in Tacoma, Washington. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jules.
Hi, Stephanie. You know, your longtime loyal listeners worry so much about your medical problems.
Thank you.
But
I think a medical problem.
Well, we can sleep well tonight because evidently not all of the Obamacare has kicked in yet.
No?
No. When 93-year-old Zsa Zsa Gabor can get a new hip, evidently the death panels aren't there. So that's one thing that you don't have to worry about, honey.
Yes. We wish Zsa Zsa well. She broke her hip in a fall at her Bel Air home, according to her husband, Prince von Ass. Exactly. He was magically unhurt at the time he was, handcuffed naked to his steering wheel on the 405, which, who hasn't that happened to? You understand if you're from L.A. All right, the other breaking celebutard news here in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Lindsay Lohan's new lawyer, Robert Shapiro, has quit.
Yeah. Oops.
After, what is it, 1 day? 2 days. That's all he could take of that.
I believe he said, that bitch is crazy. I can't roll.
Well, and didn't she check herself into his
rehab
facility? Yeah.
Or something. Hmm. And she's going to jail today. Oh, you know what that means, Chris. A lot of helicopters. Oh, boy. We're going to, he resigned from Leo Lowen's case yesterday, forcing her old attorney to represent her again.
Oh, no.
That attorney. She's drinking heavily today. What's her name?
Apparently, I'm getting reports from West Hollywood that helicopters are circling over Lindsay's neighborhood, so they're getting ready to go.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be worse than the Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
A lot of helicopters, a lot of Rita Cosby screaming. Get off the 405! Lindsay's going to jail! Okay. Oh, Jim, there's a breaking Donald Trump and Tiger Woods horror news as well.
Huge. Huge news. Huge.
Now, just yesterday, D-listed reporting, Tiger Woods' most expensive trick, Rachel Yucatel, isn't going to just take her $10 million and quietly retire to Whore Island forever. Apparently, fellow whore Donald Trump invited her to join the cast of next season's Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, boy.
But already...
You're fired.
Fired.
You're fired.
Yeah.
Yes, hell hath no fury like Donald Trump scorned for another celebrity reality show. She apparently... VH1 just announced the cast of the fourth season of Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew. What do you call it? Donald Trump said, it's a terrible decision. We have zero interest in her now.
You're fired.
He says, look what Celebrity Apprentice did for Piers Morgan. He's getting Larry King's job. Well, she made a bad mistake.
We don't know if that's true yet, but...
We don't know if that's... See, I would have gotten Larry King's job if only I'd been on that Celebrity...
Whatever.
Apprentice Island show, whatever.
Were you asked? Were
no,
you asked?
No.
Carol Leifer was. Why weren't you asked?
I'm nobody. All right. Oh, dear God. This is really... Mel Gibson's family is... The superficial saying Mel Gibson received the support of his ex-wife Robin last week, and now his entire family is joining together to say Oksana Grigoria pushed him into flinging racial slurs and punching her in the mouth.
Sure. Right. Hmm.
A Gibson family source says she pushed him over the edge. While they do think he needs help for his anger issues.
You think?
Mel's family is supportive of him. Superficial writing, look, I have no doubt that Oksana pulled some underhanded solely to squeeze a giant chunk of change out of her custody agreement, but it's not like she can go inside his brain and make him fling racial slurs while threatening arson in the absence of fellatio. That's purely the magic of Mel. The only way he can come out of this unscathed is if he turns out she secretly recorded him reading lines from his new script, Fire Hummer, a post-apocalyptic tale of one man's journey to overcome racism in the pursuit of the last blow on Earth.
Did you...
That is his next movie.
Yeah. Did you see the rumors that Mel and his ex-wife may be back together?
No.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yes.
Guess who is probably not going to be getting back together with him?
Who?
Danny Glover.
Oh.
The superficial writing when it was...
too old for this.
That's what the superficial headline is. Danny Glover is too old for this. When it was first reported that, you know, when he... said the N-word and thing to him. Okay.
Yep.
People eventually thought, what does Danny Glover think? As we know, his spokesperson said that he would not have any comment. Superficial writing. In Danny Glover's defense, Mel Gibson is scary. I mean, the man's go-to reaction for not getting is arson. Could you imagine how he'd react to a colleague throwing him under the bus? It'd be like Roots times 11.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, see, at least I'm in good company. Aerosmith's Joe Perry was injured.
Mm-hmm.
Pink was injured. She was, her harness or something took her into a barricade.
Whatever.
That's what I'm going to say happened to me.
Oh, then you were doing some Cirque du Soleil stunt and your harness sent you into a barricade.
Yes, okay. The harness that I do the show in threw me into a barricade.
Uh-huh. At least she wasn't airborne with the harness.
Yes. I could have been injured in my sex sling yesterday, and yet I wasn't.
Well, if you'd taken it home, you didn't take it home. I had to hide it from the parasites here.
Authorities say Aerosmith guitarist Joe Perry was rear-ended by a car when he was riding his motorcycle. He has been treated for minor injuries, but he can no longer, you know, walk this way. He has to walk that way because he can't walk this way anymore.
He was hit by a car.
Mm-hmm. What was my point there? All right. Guess what?
What?
Two beautiful words every gold digger loves to hear. No prenup. Oh, Kelsey Grammer didn't get a prenup from that gaseous beast that he's married to.
Did not get a prenup.
So he had to put up with the irritable bowel syndrome, and now there's no prenup.
Now I'm completely scrawled.
I wonder what caused that. Maybe it was too much scrambled eggs and tossed salad. Maybe that her diet consisted entirely.
See, because that's the title of the theme song to Frasier.
Listen, I have a handicap. I can't be expected to be up to par. All right. But a little Scotchmore celebrity stack and much more as we continue.
And Chicago Danny.
Oh, God, Dan, it's shipped my couriers. And we're going to talk to him for a second next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She went. Totally geek. Totally chic.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Hey, Jim, did you hear my latest I'm a disaster magnet run for your life story?
No.
I think I retroactively killed someone.
What?
My podiatrist recommended a chiropractor.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my back's gone out from walking with the cast and the crutches and the Flavin and the stairs and the rollators.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, that was a really good recommendation except for one thing. He said, what? I said, she's dead. She's I called the office and they said she's So I found someone else. I'm just saying I don't know if I could go back in time and affect someone adversely, but I think I could do it. All right. It's been a month. It's been a month for Mama, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It of has. Mishaps. However, my car arrived. Full of all my worldly belongings, thanks to my friend Danny Kalik from Chicago at AMPM. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you today?
I am much better since someone else is calling for your services already.
Yes, and we're going to wait for them just for a few minutes to give you a little bit of extra time here, Stephanie, and thank you for your patience once again.
Danny, wow, you sound like you're calling from a telethon. Thank you so much for getting my car here safely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we talked about on the air, because, you know, we make everything into comedy. There were some mishaps, but it got here safely. And may I just say, you couldn't have been a nicer guy about it.
Well, not all of the transports are worry-free, but, you know, we do our best to just remain in contact, assure you're satisfied. And we've been doing this for a long time, Stephanie, and we like to do it right.
Well, you know, I have to say, stuff always happens. Mm-hmm. And as you trust me, my life in the last month, it's a testament to that. But so we joked about on the air that, because I think the original, you said, you've been in this business how long?
Since 1976 now.
And that's never happened where the original truck had a fire, right? And you had to switch my car onto another truck.
Well, actually, you know, that's one of the first times I've actually lost a vehicle completely in all of the years I've been doing this.
Well, you know why? Because it was carrying my car. I'm telling you.
I'm starting to worry about that a little bit, Stephanie, with you.
But. Yeah, it's me. It's me. but you know, I have to say, you know, when you go through stressful situations, a lot of times in service industries like that, people start getting really tense. And you were so nice and you were so, you know, reassuring, and you got it here and you did what you said you were going to do. And I just wanted to thank you.
Well, every customer is special to us. And, you know, sometimes when you try to over-appease a customer, you wind up getting yourself in trouble. And I did do the best I could for you, Stephanie.
No, and at least you were honest, because I think the thing that people hate the most is when companies lie to them. But, you know, you were honest about, you know, this is going on, but it's going to get here then. And I said to you, because you said you were scared to call me because you thought that, you know, I might go nuts on you. But I was saying, I think in any kind of situation, you've got to put things in perspective. I was telling you, like, one of my closest friends, he lost his wife and his son in the same year. And I thought, you know what? You got to put stuff in perspective when some things go wrong. And I just wanted to thank you for getting my car and all my stuff here. And tell us what the website is.
The website is premiumcarcarrier.com. And we do open and close transports to all 50 states and Canada. We work with a lot of snowbird people and also a lot of celebrities such as Stephanie to transfer their cars.
or semi-celebrities, but you did a great job. Danny Kalik at Premium Car Carrier. Say it again.
AMPM, Premium Car Carrier, and the website address is premiumcarcarrier.com.
We'll go out for a drink down on a Wacker next time I get to Chicago, all right?
It sounds good, Stephanie. Thanks so much for the call.
All right, thank you, Danny. There
Have
he goes.
Have a wonderful day.
All right, you too. There he goes. Yes, Danny, was I right, Jim? Did he sound like that?
Yeah, that's the guy.
Be a little problem. First time I ever lost a truck in how many years?
Hardly ever happens. But, yeah, you're bad luck. That's the problem right there.
I love
I'm
that
telling
answer.
You, I realized it is me. The guy that was hooking up my printer, he hurt his foot, and now he can't hook up my printer. It's me. I'm telling you. What are the chances that I broke my foot so I can't? And then the guy I hired... I think he cut his Achilles heel or something.
You're like some kind of voodoo doll.
Exactly.
You show up and people get pins in them.
Exactly.
Has your printer been hooked up yet?
No. I hired another guy, and he's going to show up tomorrow. And you know what? I'm realizing it's like being the drummer for Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
I would not take a job with me. I'm warning you guys, and I, you know.
The guy's got problems, too. I think his car might have burst into flame or something.
Mike and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Mike.
Well, hey, guys, after listening to Sarah Palin, I think it's we pretty much can assume that the Republicans are not hooked on phonics, but I think it's also safe to assume that they're not hooked on math or reality either. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Matt in Detroit wants to talk about tax cuts. Matt, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie, I love you, by the way.
Love
Let me say that first of all in a totally creepy and inappropriate way.
Fabulous.
Anyway, okay.
Is there any other way?
I just want to comment about the guy who called before the top of the last hour. It's amazing to me that so many people still buy this trickle-down BS after it's been proven not to work.
Yeah, right.
You know, I love it when Rush Limbaugh asks, have you ever gotten a job from a poor guy? Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I have. I mean, not necessarily a poor guy, but a middle-class guy. I mean, I work in radio, you know, God help me, and how does my radio station make money? By selling advertising, and who advertises on my radio station? Cartier watches and caviar and yachts? Hell no.
Hell no. Yeah.
It's movies and beer
Jim
and Chevrolets.
Was, right, you know? Jim was making this point earlier that the rich, you know, first of all, a lot of their money offshore. They don't buy stuff. They already have everything, you know.
And then they do buy something, it's a foreign-made yacht.
You already have everything you want. I mean, it's the middle class that creates economic growth.
Exactly.
When you give middle class people money, they spend it.
Yep.
I just don't understand why people don't get this.
Yep.
I mean, this used to be mainstream economics, and it's crazy communist talk now.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thank you, honey. Steve in Long Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Steph. How's your paw?
My paw is still broke. But it's getting better.
Listen, it's simple economics, like the gentleman just before me said. It's like a business. You can't take money. If you don't take money in, you can't put it out. I mean, we went to two wars, and he cut the amount of money we have coming into our business.
Yep.
I mean, it's simple economics, which blows my mind that these people are just being cheaple.
Yeah. No, exactly, Steve. I mean, that's not hard to understand for anybody. You do these two expensive wars, and you cut your revenue by whatever it is, $650 billion, mm-hmm. by giving tax cuts to your buddies, to your rich buddy. I mean, how does that? It's fuzzy math.
It's the American way.
It's what it is. It's fuzzy math.
Fuzzy math.
Yeah.
It's fuzzy math.
Yeah.
It's fuzzy math. I'm practicing fuzzy math.
Mm-hmm. George and Gary, Indiana. Hello, George.
Hello, Mama. I was just also calling in response to George Asshat III from Gated Community, Indiana, who called earlier in favor of keeping the tax cuts.
Right.
And personally, I want to explain to George that those of us who work hard for a living here in Northwest Indiana, there was no days of wine and roses under Bush before him and his buddies crashed the economy at great profit to their friends. This economy now is the result of their shenanigans, and the tax cuts did nothing but make a few people a lot richer. Look, rich guys understand they screwed us, they got richer, and they're going to continue to be rich. Nobody jumped out of any windows this time around. You notice that, right?
Yeah, yep, exactly. All right, let me finish up Celebrity Stack. Bill Clinton has his bucket list. Did you see that? You know, it's the movie,
right.
the stuff you want to do before you die.
It's kind of morbid, isn't it?
I know. He would like to live to see his own grandchildren. Chelsea's, you know, about to get married.
Right.
He said, I would like to climb Mount Kilimanjaro before the snow melts. Yeah, Al Gore might give him a time frame on that. It might not be long.
Kind of sad.
Mm-hmm. And he'd like to run a marathon before I give out.
Computer says no.
Jim Fix died running, remember?
Yeah,
remember?
Yeah.
That was,
I think that's unwise.
Oh,
yeah.
I think so, too. Yeah, that should have been another whole Alanis Morissette song, Jim Fix dying running. Just saying.
Yeah.
All right. David Diaper Hooker Vitter.
Yes.
Did you see this En Garde moment? He made a snarky remark about Rachel Maddow, our buddy, our pal.
Yes.
While appearing on a conservative radio show out of New Orleans, he had a good laugh with the host over an old picture of Rachel Maddow looking like a woman. Ha ha ha. Must have been a long time ago, he said. Mm-hmm.
I just remarked she looked very different. I mean, you can tell it's Rachel, but she looks very, very different.
Yeah, she had long blonde hair, but she's beautiful, first of all. Anyway, so he later issued a very short apology to Maddow. What a moron.
You are an idiot.
Oh, by the way.
He should just shut up. I mean, not that he's not. I know he's hard to maintain his feminist credentials, but... Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan's in court.
Oh, no.
As we speak... She's about ready to start her 90-day jail term, and as she was walking into the courthouse, someone threw confetti on her.
Uh-huh. Her lawyer looks happy to be there.
Yeah. So she had how long to prepare for this today, the lawyer?
I don't know.
She had like 12 hours to prepare for this.
Yeah, we love the idea that Robert Shapiro could hang in there with O.J., but Lindsay Lohan, that's a bridge too far, morally. That's you can only handle her for a day. All right. And the last celebrity stack, Barney Frank has slammed Kathy Griffin for calling Scott Brown's daughters prostitutes.
Did you see the episode?
I did not see the episode.
Yeah, it was. The whole episode was kind of cringeworthy.
Was it?
Yeah, it was.
I don't. Why did she call them?
Because she
kind of pimped them out. I don't, you know.
Right, but she didn't kind of explain that in the episode. She was getting coached by Dana Bash and John King about the ins and outs of Washington, and they said, "Who is Scott Brown?" And she said, "Oh, he's the one who has prostitutes for daughters."
Mm. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, you need to tell the backstory.
Yeah, you kind of do, and she didn't. So
all right. Her is a new. There's a new political party in Romania, Jim, that you may want to join. A Romanian model who wants to improve the country's image has started a new political party for beautiful people. Mm. She wants to. She's like sort of Sarah Palin, I think, of Romania. She wants to heavily tax overweight citizens and punish anyone making dumb blonde jokes. Anyone like that needs to be put in prison. She thinks she's forming their own little tea party over there. Other key planks of her platform include a fine for infidelity, a law insisting that only models in bikinis are allowed to work as tourist guides, something she suggests would boost Romania's popularity as a travel destination, which is probably true.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
We salute Romania's Sarah Palin and their new tea party.
Are there a lot of blondes in Romania?
Well, there are drugstores.
Listen, has her issue. At least she has some ideas. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the party barn. May we take your order? It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Well, in that Joe Perry has got a cast on now, too, I guess.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Rob in Long Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Stephanie, I wanted to talk to you real briefly about this whole tax thing, because it seems to me like this defies common sense.
Yes, it does.
If for the sake of argument, if you make $100,000 a year to do your job, and somebody comes in and says, hey, you know what, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to pay you $60,000 a year, but you're not going to pay taxes. That doesn't sound like that makes sense to me, because I don't think anybody's paying a 40% tax rate, especially in the middle class.
Hmm. Right. Well, that's what we've been saying over and over again, these Tea Parties and them emulating Reagan, and taxes were way higher under Reagan. And, you know, by the way, unemployment went up and up and up when he was president. I mean,
well, I don't know if you know this, but in 1951, when Eisenhower was president, the unemployment rate was 2.3%, the lowest it's ever been since they recorded it, and the income tax rate was 90.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It sounded like he was calling from underwater.
He does. He does.
Yeah.
John in Chicago. Hey, John.
Hey, Stephen Books. I just want to add to what all the previous callers said, and I think it may sound radical, but at this point, a good argument would be made that rich people are, when they're left with that money, are destructive of wealth. I mean, look at the $18 trillion they just destroyed in this latest bubble. And, you know, middle-class people are allowed to keep their money. They've got to spend it, where these people offshore jobs and speculate and pull all kinds of shenanigans. And like the previous caller said, you know, radical socialists like Eisenhower and Truman, the tax rate was 80%, and this country thrived. But yet all this Reaganomics is just destroying us.
Yep, yep, absolutely. Exactly. Oh, by the by, did you see this? We've had yet another angry right-winger, angry about Congress passing left-wing agenda. 45-year-old parolee opens fire on cops.
Oh, my God.
Good plan.
Yeah, 45-year-old parolee Byron Williams opened fire on highway patrol officers in Oakland, California. After a brief shootout, Williams, who was wearing body armor, was shot and is currently in an emergency room in stable condition. In an interview, Williams explained that her son was unemployed, angry at left-wing politicians, and upset about Congress railroading through all these left-wing agenda items. She went on to say that she kept guns in her house, which her son stole. She also warned of a coming revolution. Anybody want to bet on how often Glenn Beck is featured on the television in that particular home?
I think it's time to rethink the Second Amendment. Maybe gun ownership should be a privilege, not a right.
Do you think that's covered in Garden and Guns, the magazine probably. That we quoted earlier?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't let you drive if you're blind. If you're criminally insane, you shouldn't own a gun.
Yeah. So, speaking of just people fomenting anger, must Sarah Palin get involved in everything that's none of her business
I
on
know.
Twitter and Facebook like some pissy eighth grader? She has sparked a Twitter fight on this mosque. You know, you've heard this is this new right-wing cause. Whether,
right.
But first of all, it's a little insidious. A country that has been built on freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we're going, oh, but not mosques now. A lot of these, and it's not just in New York. It's around the country. Yeah. They're trying to prevent people from building mosques.
And that's absolutely insane. It goes against everything this country stands
and
for.
And the facility they're worried about in Manhattan isn't really a mosque. It's a community center.
Right.
It's,
right. Right. Yeah. So Sarah Palin waded into the, as you know, she waded into that upstate New York fight, which didn't go so well for her.
Yeah.
She's jumped into the fray over a planned mosque near Ground Zero. She wrote, "Peace-speaking Muslim, please understand Ground Zero Mosque is unnecessary provocation. It stabs hearts. Please reject it in the interest of healing," she tweeted on Sunday. First of all, you might argue that it's a perfect idea. Because, look at how the world was after 9/11, including a lot of Muslims that clearly reached out to America
right.
and tried to say, this is a perversion of Islam, what happened here, and this is not what we stand for.
That's fight oppression by being oppressive ourselves. That's that's a good strategy.
Yes. Conservatives predict a confrontational atmosphere with Muslims over construction of mosques. While President Obama has undertaken a series of valuable efforts to emphasize to Muslims that the U.S. is not at war with them, that message, of course, being undercut by radical conservatives here at home who are hell-bent on opposing construction of Muslim places of worship. In explaining the opposition, the right-wing group Family Security Matters, they just throw a bunch of words together that they think sound right. It's all these focus on the family, whatever. They stated mosques are centers of indoctrination and propaganda and exhortations to wage war against the infidel, us.
Hmm. No, they are places of worship, and this isn't even a mosque. It's a community center.
In a completely unrelated headline, Florida Tea Party to host radical Islamophobe who said Muslims shouldn't hold political office. Now he's talking to you, Barack Obama. Chris, I'm starting to question Fox News' journalistic ethics.
Like I said earlier in the show, they're kind of stupid over there.
Yeah. David Hooker Vitter, who I mentioned just earlier in the show, he went on Fox News on the Sunday to talk about the oil cleanup, despite being embroiled in a widely reported scandal involving his former aide, who worked on women's issues for Vitter. That's got to be quite a robust department. Until he resigned because, why, Jim? Because he stabbed a woman. So that was an issue for her, I'm guessing. Fox News' Chris Wallace did not even broach the subject.
Hmm.
Weird. Didn't even bring that up. Hmm. I don't think they discussed the prostitution scandal much on Fox either, did they?
No, they didn't.
What the Fox? All right, Senator Mitch McChinless, he was asked about the NAACP's resolution calling on the Tea Party to condemn the racist elements in its ranks. McConnell brushed aside accusations of racism, saying he's got better things to do, Jim.
Oh. Mm.
He's got to get a new leaf of lettuce. He needs a new, his terrarium is...
I need the lights in my terrarium need changing. I need the vitamin D from those lights.
He can't get anywhere because he's on his back.
I'm on my back, and no one has fed me any lettuce in a long time.
It's funny because he looked like a turtle. Okay. Oh, here's this again. Senator John Cornyn, Republican of Texas, a host asked him whether Republicans plan to embrace the Bush legacy, and Cornyn suggested that they wholeheartedly would.
You mean like the deficit?
He even claimed that President Bush is enjoying a revival as the public feels fondness for his administration.
No.
Which people are that?
We are still suffering under his economy. I don't feel fondness for him at all.
Mm.
Same age as my mother.
Okay.
All right, you covered your ass now.
All right. By the way, is it wrong to say that South Carolina Democratic candidate, it looks like the Bubba Gump shrimp guy in Forrest Gump? Is that wrong to say that?
Mulled shrimp, fried shrimp.
I still need to know what happened down there. Because that's
it's open primary.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Republicans voted him in.
Exactly. That's the problem with open primaries.
Yes.
Thanks, California, for giving us one.
All right.
That's in addition to the Dodgy voting machines.
Mm. That's it for us today. Tomorrow, CNN's Ali Velshi, the bald-headed prophet of doom, and, of course, Hal Sparks joins us for Hump Days with Hal. Don't miss it. We'll see you then on The Stephanie Miller Show.